Meerkat judging us.
I wish I was recording. That'd be really funny.
That'd be funny. They'd be like, I can't take this show anymore. This show has fucking gone off the rails.
What are we talking to?
A meerkat.
What kind of meerkat?
I don't know what kind of meerkat. A meerkat.
You just described him a second ago.
Oh, a judgy meerkat.
And he's stuffed. Remember you said you said we're talking to a stuffed meerkat.
It's a stuffed, judgy meerkat.
Yeah, he is. Bastard. I only asked you that because I started recording. That's all.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
'Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host. I am the Twitterless heroine, the ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants herself, the hashtag queen of soft style. My name is Miranda Morales. Welcome. Thank you for joining us on another edition. I said us because I am not on this crazy train alone. I do this show with my co-host, the one and only Greg DeMarco.
I'm surprised you made it through that without laughing, to be honest with you. Like,
I tried really hard, really hard.
Do you want me to list the give the whole list again?
The whole list?
The whole list from the first show.
Yes, please. I tried to do it justice, but you do it way better.
So I'm gonna even play your music. So hang on, let's. I gotta get shit set up here. All right, make sure I'm recording. Yeah, I am recording. All right, I just want to make sure. That would suck. It's only happened once. It's only happened once.
Just once.
It was forced. It was during an interview, but you know that shit happens. So let's get you. Make sure we have some. Some theme song action lined up here. And here we'll jump into the archives of another show for a theme song. We're going to play Brittany Nicole's theme song at the end of this just because, I don't know, I want to. She is the critically acclaimed host of the hashtag Miranda Show. She is the ring announcer to the stars, Fancy Pants, because you fancy. She is the pretty bird. She is the senior executive producer of fun at Impact Zone Wrestling. She is the special event coordinator for the Festival of Friendship. When I am talking to Brittany Cole, she is simply hashtag M. She is the queen of soft style. You can follow her on Instagram at the hashtag Miranda because someone else already took the other one that she really wanted. You cannot follow her on the Twitter because she don't need no stinking Twitter. And that makes her the Twitterless heroine herself. She's a dirty, lying whore. She's the woman who has been down since day 2,737. Yes, I did the math. She is the true wild card, bitches. And like she once shared, she is indeed my platonic life partner. Hashtag Miranda, Miranda Morales. This is not your song.
That song, but I like it. I did.
Brittany gives commentary over the song as it's playing. And then my song for the show.
This is of course Greg.
What do you mean, of course, Greg?
Shut your dumb mouth.
What do you mean, of course, Greg? Of course I need a song.
Because of course, because you're here, of course.
Yes, of course. But enough about somebody else's show. Let's go back to your show.
Yes, we are on my show, the hashtag Miranda Show. And this week, we're going to be talking about what's been happening in NXT, specifically something that got me super hyped, super marked out. I mean, this is the first of its kind in modern history, maybe in all of history. We got introduced this to the first ever women's War Games happening at War Games in a few weeks. And this, I marked out. I was super, super excited for this development to happen. So I wanted to talk that with you this week. Plus, some things on social media.
Because or not on social media.
Speaking of social media, good segue, Greg, because you're great. If you're interested in following the Chair Shot, thechairshot.com is available on social media at thechairshot.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also go to thechairshot.com for all of your latest wrestling news and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And you can also support thechairshot.com by buying a awesome t-shirt on prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There are a whole variety of designs, of colors, but really there's only one style you need in your life, one style to make your life complete, and that's soft style. So go ahead, buy one shirt, two shirts, three shirts, redfish, bluefish, redfish, yellowfish, one fish, two fish, all of them.
All the fishes.
On all the fishes, all the t-shirts on prowrestlingtees.com/thechair. And don't forget to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You would know, by the way, your recommendation to buy shirts in the style of soft. I mean, there's no stronger recommendation than yours because, well, you're the queen. You're the queen of soft style. Like, who else would know? Now, some might think that might actually cloud your judgment in recommending soft style shirts since you are, you know, that is your land. What is it? If a king looks over a kingdom, does a queen look over a queendom? Like, I've never really heard that phrase ever.
I guess, but if you're Stephanie McMahon.
Maybe. I
mean, it's in her theme music.
A bunch of people wearing. Is that in her theme song, Queendom?
Yes, yeah, of the kings or something or something, something, I forget, but the queendom, kings bow down, something like that. I'm not quite sure.
Really?
Yes. Look up look it up. It's part of her theme.
Is this the right one?
Yes.
Holy shit, it is. It's literally called Welcome to the Queendom. Like, that's the name of the song, apparently. Who the hell
See,
made
I
that?
Don't remember Rick Martel's theme music, but I remember Stephanie McMahon. Grace, I'm never gonna be done, lean on in. Now welcome to the
Queendom. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that compared to this. I gotta go Stephanie on that one. I really do. Like, I know when Patrick listens to this, he probably will for the one time. Yeah, I gotta go Stephanie on that one. I gotta go Stephanie. Now, if it were this one, might go with Ted.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
This one? That's a good. So that or Stephanie?
Stephanie's.
That's, yeah, I didn't, it does, it sounds very different on the YouTube apparently than it does when yeah. By the way, just for those keeping score at home, it's time for my kids to brush their teeth and go to bed.
I was going to say, was that YouTube or was that,
did that pick up?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A little bit of it.
Yeah. Yes. Instructions were given. So
all of you, this is your mid-show reminder to brush your teeth, everyone. So please go ahead and do that. We'll give you all a second to do that. You can pause this, come back to it. I'm never gonna be done, lean on in. Now welcome to the queendom. The queendom,
where the kings bow down. They relinquish the crown. I will never hear that the same again. I just won't. It's always going to be that queendom. I never knew the words. Like, that's been her theme song, apparently, from whatever, since like 2013. And I never knew the words. And yet here we are.
Greg DeMarco, mind blown. Welcome to the hashtag Miranda Show. Where
time to play the game. We're just going to go to the whole family now. Time to play the game. What rails? Like, you thought we were going off the rails. There are no rails.
Oh, yeah. There was not a rail in sight. No rails.
There was, yeah, the way this show, when you accused me of already recording the show and I wasn't already recording the show, this thing was done. This thing was toast.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, hello. Welcome to this. This is kind of like the ugly stepchild of the chairshot.com podcast network.
But yet I put it in prime time. I've released it at like 8 o'clock.
Prime time slot.
I'm either brainwashed, the best friend in the world, or just a fucking moron. Like, one of those three things is what I am.
No, you're all three of those things. All three.
That might be true. That might be true. And coming from you, that's saying a lot. Although you could be lying. Viva la raza! I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal. We should talk topics. We should
talk, yes. Because this week was actually a really good episode. Really good episode of NXT. It was something that I posted on social media, which we will also talk about, because I feel like that was a stereotypical conversation on Facebook, and also just talk about that. But I really, really want to talk about the setup for NXT War Games. We now have the first ever women's war game match that has been announced. We don't know all of the competitors yet, but we do know that there's going to be two teams, and the captains so far that have been decided is Baszler and Ray. So over the next few weeks, they will be picking their teams. But back to the event where we've seen over the past few weeks multiple women and NXT Women's Division have been competing, just also doing a phenomenal job of setting up women's storylines in NXT. I've been a big fan of primarily Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Shayna Baszler. Those women really have help set the tone for a really competitive women's division in NXT. And when you also compare that to what is happening on the other side of the Wednesday Night Wars, which is a podcast that you can listen to on the chairshot.com radio network.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Hosted by who?
By Greg DeMarco and Brittany Nicole.
I can't even stop myself anymore. I'm sorry. Continue. Because this is actually a really important topic that I love. I just can't stop myself.
Yeah, no, we can't. This is what happens when you're a real wrestling fan, but also...
This is what happens. No, let's just be honest. This is what happens when anybody puts any level of trust in me on a second show in the same night. That's what happens.
That's true. Yes. But we will persevere. So... the beginning of last week's NXT, you had Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae. Io Shirai beat Candice LeRae. Shirai pinned Candice and then tried to hit her with a chair. Rhea Ripley made the save, and that kind of helped continue that storyline between these three women. And then later on in that night, you had the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match, the Warriors up against Tegan Knox and
Dakota Kai,
yes.
Which, if you say it fast, it's really fun. Dakota Kai. Like, she's Dakota Kai. I think actually she. I shouldn't say this. Never mind. It's horrible. Oh my. I'm being judged right now.
You're being judged.
I was gonna say she got the name Dakota Kai. She was Evie, of course, on the Independents for many years. She's from New Zealand. She got the name Dakota Kai when she went and wrestled at Stardom in Japan because they called her Dakota Kai. And I realized I shouldn't say it out loud because now I'm a racist or something.
Something.
Save me at this point.
Let's get back on track. So we had the Women's Tag Team Championship match, the Kabuki Warriors versus Tegan Knox.
That's another fun word to say, by the way. Kabuki.
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 Yes.
Dakota Kai. Kabuki.
I mean, this was a really good match. And this lasted a while through several commercial breaks, which I was very surprised that they did with this match. But all four women in this match did just a fantastic job. The match ended with Asuka spitting the green mist into Dakota Kai's face behind the referee's back-ish. I mean, I think they did a good enough job trying to hide the green mist. And Kairi Sane covered Dakota Kai's face to the point where you couldn't really see the mist, but I mean, it was pretty obvious.
There was more psychology in that mist spot than you usually get in a mist spot. So,
very true.
Yeah, like her covering her face, they usually don't go to those lengths. So yes, I was down.
So I really appreciated that because, of course, you do it behind the back of the referee, and then logically you think, oh, the referee's going to miss, there's this green stuff all around. So I really did appreciate what they attempted to do in that spot. The Kabuki Warriors won. After the match, Shayna Baszler came out with the rest of the horsewomen and essentially beat up Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox, beating them while they're down. Then this turned into a pretty big brawl. After that, Rhea Ripley came out, then Candice LeRae, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai. I mean, it was just a melee. And it was really exciting just to see all of the top women in the NXT women's division come out. William Regal had enough. He just said, we have a simple solution for what's happening here, war game. And you could tell the crowd kind of had a vibe that this was going to happen. They were cheering for War Games before he made the announcement. But I think also the simplicity of his announcement was perfect because it wasn't super elaborate. One simple solution for all this chaos, War Games. And I think it really helped set the tone for this no pun intended, but kind of pun intended, regalness of this type of event. And to have this be the first ever women's War Games, I think is perfect for NXT. I mean, this is now another threshold, another echelon that the women compete in. And they've set up the story really well. You've had weeks and weeks of competition between these women, and now with this final melee of everyone coming together, it didn't feel like there was any other solution. There was no other way this was going to evolve except with War Games. So as a fan, I love the idea. I love this story. I love this match. Greg, do you feel the same?
I'm thrilled that the women have War Games. I called this months ago on one of these shows. And it's written somewhere, just because back when the horsewomen were just attacking every babyface possible, I saw it coming. Then I started to doubt it a little bit because of different things they were setting up with Rhea Ripley stepping up the challenge. And then thankfully they pulled the trigger, because we are, in my opinion, I'm going to use a big word, we are on the precipice of another like real renaissance for the women in NXT. Like, we're getting back to the point of Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley, and Becky, even though Becky, shockingly enough, Becky was not a big deal in NXT. Look at her now. And would you look at the talent is just insane on the NXT roster for women. And it happened real quick, because for a while there, it was like, it wasn't what it used to be. And now all of a sudden, it's starting to surpass what it used to be. And that is just, it makes me so happy. Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox, they had plans for them before they got hurt. Now they're back. They're huge for the division. You know, Io Shirai turning heel. Bianca Belair, like, we thought she was going away, but she didn't. The teams are going to make a little bit of weirdness for War Games, because why would Bianca Belair team with Io Shirai and Shayna Baszler? Why would Shayna Baszler team with Io Shirai? But they're going to have to do what they got to do to make it work, and because it's War Games. But I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and they deserve it. They absolutely deserve to have War Games. I wanted them to have War Games. For a while there, I thought they were maybe even setting it up to where the women had War Games and the men didn't. I think the men's pairings for War Games are obvious now as well. I think it's, you know, the Undisputed Era on one side, and then you've got Matt Riddle, Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream will probably come back in the next week or two, and Keith Lee. That'll be your men's side for the War Games as well. Two War Games matches in the same show, too, which has never happened before. So I'm really excited. But yeah, the timing and the talent is perfect for the first women's War Games, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Survivor Series, if you're an NXT fan, Survivor Series is going to be like the best weekend ever.
Yes.
Ever.
And we did talk about this a little bit on your show earlier about storyline continuity, because we did also have the NXT invasion angle happening on SmackDown and also on Raw. And you did see all of NXT come together, on top of still having their own individual storylines in NXT. So it can be a little confusing where you have, especially the women who you just saw a few days earlier have a big brawl, who've been competing against each other for weeks now, then come onto the main roster to show some unity. That I can see how it can, but also won't impact so much of the storyline. I mean, if you keep it within the bubble of NXT, then it's going to continue to make sense. And if you only really watch NXT, you'll be able to see these teams building and these rivalries building. Whereas if, you know, maybe what happens over the next few weeks, and again, it could be different now to solidify what's going to be for Survivor Series in NXT. It looks like for right now, NXT, you're just going to have Shayna Baszler up against Bayley and Becky Lynch, and nobody else on the NXT roster is going to be having a match for Survivor Series. But still, this whole invasion angle and seeing people on the same team, even though just a few days earlier they were beating the crap out of each other, I can see that somewhat negatively impacting War Games. But I'm curious too on your thoughts. Like, is that something that can impact the story going into War Games for NXT?
That kind of falls under that umbrella of choice that I've talked about before. If you really want it to, it can, but it's not really a reach, but it's also not a reach to not let it impact the storytelling of the first women's War Games match. NXT as a brand, and the way this whole fight with Raw and SmackDown is being promoted, is about the brand itself rising up, showing they belong, showing they're not developmental anymore. There's three brands now, and they're one of them. And anybody on that roster should want that and should want to show that. At the same time, like you noted, they're not really teaming up together as part of Survivor Series. I could see a potential team and, you know, a big multi-woman match taking place, but I still think that the women of NXT would be together. Probably just be the baby faces. Who knows? But I think it only, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you'll see it differently, but to me, it only negatively impacts War Games and the storytelling element of War Games if you let it. And if you let it, it's probably because you really want it to, because you want to find something to complain about. both of these things are monumental. I don't think any of us would sign up for waiting 12 months for either of them to happen now that they're here. And I just think it's, God, if you let that get in the way, just stop watching, I guess, is my advice. And so hopefully that's not you.
No, it's a very good point, because you talked about history and as being a big monumental moment, not only for just women's wrestling, but for NXT. So I think that, yeah, if you get too lost in the details, then yes, you know, it could really take away from the experience and taking away from the moment. But, you know, I could see, as a wrestling fan, if you are watching the entirety of the brand, both NXT, Raw, SmackDown, all of that, then yeah, you could probably wonder too much. But sometimes we could be too smart for our own good, and that it makes it challenging for us to kind of immerse ourselves in just watching a storyline or watching a match. So sometimes it's okay to just remove yourself a little bit, and a little bit of bliss is ignorance, or a little bit of ignorance is bliss.
You know, it's so funny that you talk about too smart for our own good, because I consider myself to be a pretty smart wrestling fan. Like, I don't think I'm talking out of turn when I say that. Put on shows, you know, successfully and all that stuff, right? Stop. Okay, don't stop. Whatever. But I don't let that stuff get in the way. And is that like a certain level of smartness where you don't let stuff get in the way? Like, does that make you a smart fan? Because you get it to the point where does wanting to enjoy it and finding ways to enjoy it make someone a smarter fan than those who are smart to the level where they just want to complain about it? I'm just spitballing. I have no idea. It's just kind of what your point brought to mind, which was a great point.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, because you have to figure out what that balance means to you as a fan. That also then speaks to fandom and what you love about pro wrestling. You know, are you more of a storyline driven fan? Are you more of a fan of character development? Are you more of a fan of actual wrestling? You know, what about being a pro wrestling fan, you know, speaks to you? And I think that too can have an impact on just the way that you perceive thing and your smartness level. I think sometimes it is more challenging to remove yourself from a story sometimes and look at things from a different perspective, because usually as a smart fan, you're looking at things in a more logical way. You're looking for patterns. You're looking for elements of like actual human emotion or reaction. And sometimes there just isn't logic in wrestling. And so it takes so much more to kind of like remove yourself from it and just trying to enjoy the product than it is to follow a logical pattern.
Yeah, it's so funny, because you talk about that logic in wrestling, and that's a phrase that, you know, I followed for years but didn't hear the phrase until like a year or two ago, which is, you know, with wrestling, people applying logic to wrestling, they're applying logic to an illogical situation, because why in the hell would wrestling even be taking place in a logical situation? But it really is this strange evolution of how we watch the business. It'd be a lot of fun. It would take way too long, because we were doing podcasts for like 3 hours back then. But if you were to go back and listen to some of the first shows that Patrick and I did, we weren't like this at all. Like, we were complaining about storylines. We were buying what you read in the dirt sheets a little bit. Something happened before we started that caused me to doubt that. But, I should tell that story. It's a good story. But it was the whole WrestleMania 30 build. Like, when I had someone tell me in the November beforehand, when I was like, oh no, they're not going to do it. And the person was like, no, the plan is for Daniel Bryan to win at WrestleMania. That was told to me the November before WrestleMania 30. And sure enough, they were like, watch, at the end, it will be Daniel Bryan holding both belts up in front of 70,000 people. That's exactly what happened. And they were like, that was a plan at Survivor Series. It's always been the plan. It's always going to be the plan. You'll see it. And it happened. And that was told to me by somebody who would know. And at that point, I was like, okay. And that reaffirmed any disbelief, or got rid of any disbelief that I had in, you know, what this truly is and how stupid the internet really is about some of this stuff, especially with the news. I know we're way off rails and we've got things we want to talk about. Do you want to know when I realized how bad wrestling news was?
Okay, when?
So this goes back to 2010. I'm pretty sure this story's come up on Greg DeMarco's show years ago, but it hasn't come up recently. Back in 2010, I worked for Ring of Honor. It's a story that people have read about when I wrote a 411 Mania, a story people have heard about. I don't even know if you've heard all about the details of me working with Ring of Honor. I was in charge of all the local stuff for their shows here in Phoenix that they did for WrestleMania 26 weekend. And when the executive vice president of Ring of Honor, his name was Sid Ike, he flew out the October before. And the story about how that came about, you know, why I even got involved with that, I'll save for another time because it's really funny, but it incriminates a couple people that we know. So I'll save that one for a private conversation. But he flies out. We meet up and we eat breakfast. We go check out the venue that I had located and we meet with them. The price was amazing. Like it was, you know, so cheap to get a venue for 2 days, including chairs and tables and everything and security. Like the price couldn't be beat. And I remember we're leaving, and as we're leaving, he's on the phone. He's explaining the ticket situation, when to put tickets on sale and what format to use for the setup and everything with the ticket sales. And he was like, yeah, oh, and tell Mike Johnson, which Mike Johnson, by the way, is PW Insider. He's like, and tell Mike Johnson that, you know, yeah, we had to take this building because WWE blocked us out of the rest of them. And I looked at him and I was just like, wait. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, that's total bullshit. They haven't blocked us from anything, but sounds good, doesn't it? And I was just like, wow. Like, that was just complete confirmation right there that he was just like, yeah, tell them that. And I was just blown away. And then we were talking because we ate afterwards. And he was like, yeah, most of that stuff is so bad. Like, they get used. People feed them. And JBL has been on record talking about this in an interview. They will literally feed, make sure that the wrong or like what they want to get out gets out. And they use the Meltzers and the Mike Johnsons and then all the other ones. And it's just terrible. And that was really when that moment I was just like, man, I will never believe any of this stuff again. And he was like, see, and that was in 2010. So that was before I was even writing, doing anything. And from then on, yeah. And it just, when you have that perspective and then over the past, you know, 9 years, these little things happen. And you're like, yep. Like so many things that just reaffirm what you've believed and what you've come to believe after what you lived. Living it at that level, which at the time Ring of Honor was basically number two in the country. Even for a short period of time, living it at that level, it's just so eye opening and you realize how bad it is. But it's, you know, part of the business. Yeah.
Did not know that story.
So that's why there's more to that story that won't make air that I'll tell you some other time. No. But that's part of why Patrick and I have the perspective that we do. And part of why I was so shocked when you guys did the show with Dave and Patrick was leaning so heavily towards the IWC. I was just like, do you remember nothing from 2010? Like I wanted to just go off. Because he wasn't there for those meetings, but he was there at the actual shows and at all the preparation day of and day before and during the shows and everything that went on. He was there when, you know, the Young Bucks walked in the back door to greet people because Impact wouldn't let them work the shows and you know, seeing other WWE stars backstage that never got reported that if people truly had sources would have been reported. I mean, if people knew that Randy Orton was backstage at the Ring of Honor show, that shit would have gotten reported. And it didn't, but he was there. So yeah, it's funny. But yeah, that's why I don't believe the bullshit.
And there you go. And that's the day I learned that Greg doesn't listen to the bullshit.
Yeah. So War Games.
War Games. Yes. War Games. Going back to War Games, something that is bullshit. War Games. What do you think is going to be the impact of War Games for the rest of NXT?
From a storyline perspective, are we talking about just bigger impact?
I want to say bigger. I mean, we've seen a lot of firsts in NXT, the first women's main event. And then you talked about the Four Horsewomen and they've led to a lot of firsts on the main roster. going back to NXT, the first women's Iron Woman match. And now you have War Games. I mean, this was something like you had said was long overdue. And luckily, they took the right timing. They took the right people, the right storylines into this. And they just didn't, you know, piecemeal this together. The storyline behind this is very strong. What do you think this means for the future of the NXT women's division?
You know, it's weird because I don't know. I don't know that it changes anything. Like, I feel like the brand and the division has come so far that I don't think that this, a moment like this, it's cool and it has its place in history and it belongs in this place in history. But I think as far as the women have come, I don't think it changes anything anymore. Like, I think we're getting these moments out there, but I think that the women, yeah, but I think it was there regardless of War Games. And I think that it's going to continue. And it's War Games is almost like a byproduct now of the Renaissance versus like the first Women's Royal Rumble was huge for the women. I think this is more huge for War Games than it is for the women at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's more exciting that they're going to do this in War Games from a War Games perspective than it is from a women's wrestling perspective. And that's not a knock on women's wrestling. That to me is a credit to women's wrestling. Like, they don't need the historic first ever women's War Games anymore. War Games needs the historic first ever women's War Games more than the women need it. And that to me speaks volumes about where the women are and where the brand has taken them.
Very true. I agree with that statement that I think that War Games itself is going to benefit from it than the women. I mean, even though it's going to elevate, I think, all of the women who are going to be in this match, that it's going to do more for the brand, for the title of War Games, and hopefully stay consistent. I mean, we've talked in the past about making history in the first ever of a match, and how it doesn't necessarily signify it being the best, but being the first. However, I have a feeling because this is the first, and just the women involved in this match, this could be a very hard one to top. War Games is one where, and I think for the women involved, storyline really does help enhance this match. I think in the past for the men, it's been an element to it. But the storylines hasn't always strengthened the match. This one, I think, will really sell it. And it will be challenging for Lightning to strike twice, maybe in the future, where you have a continuously good storyline to back up a War Games match. So this is really beautiful mix of storyline and relation match coming here for it to make sense. So I believe that this will be a very tough one to be in the future. I hope they have it in the future, but also it may be so good that you don't necessarily need it in the future. And I wouldn't be mad at that. I don't know if that's, I have a feeling you'd probably feel the same way.
Yeah. In fact, I don't want to comment on it because I can't put it any better than you did.
Good. This is my show. As I, this is, no one can see this.
I know. I'm like, what is that, Miranda, that on your audio only show?
It's a slap bracelet that I pointed at Greg. You can hear it because the slapping of the bracelet. This is now one of those. What are those videos when you make noise and it's like very soft, like ASMR, something like that?
Which you once did on the Greg DeMarco show. You did your own ASMR. And it was really good. And I was blown away by it. Because I don't even remember what you did. I can't even begin to do ASMR.
I think it was like the tapping. I don't know.
Maybe.
I've seen it on YouTube.
Not ASMR. Let's see here.
That I have in my hand. It's a slap bracelet. It is also, as far as like what it looks like, is a bunch of poop emojis. So I am just.
This is weird.
Okay. That's weird.
It's ASMR. Brain melting sleep treatment is what this is called.
Fuck, that's not so me.
That's not so, you. No. Just,
yeah. No, it's not me. It's whatever's on YouTube. That's scary.
This is intense relaxation. This is some weird stuff. Like,
I'm not relaxed. I'm freaked out.
What is this? This is brain melting. This is eye exam and glasses fitting.
Welcome back.
Okay, I'm getting off of this. This is so fucking strange. I can't even. I think ASMR has jumped the shark. Like, I don't think I don't think that's what ASMR is supposed to be.
We're not doing ASMR.
What is this? This is more like it, right? Hello, everybody. Stop talking in your ASMR.
That's what you're supposed to do. You're like very soft and.
The person is putting a sticker on a microphone and taking it off repeatedly. That's what's making that noise.
That's weird.
I don't get it. It
doesn't sound like a sticker.
But it is. It wouldn't sound like I can see it, so obviously I know it's a sticker. Yeah, it's so strange. That's word of advice from this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Don't talk during ASMR.
That's a Greg DeMarco recommendation there.
Yeah, and I'm the last person to take advice from on ASMR. Because what you just heard is probably 10 times as much ASMR as I've ever heard in my life combined up until November 5th, 2019. So,
and they probably have way more listeners and viewers than this show. So obviously.
Yeah, that video I was watching has been several million views.
Yeah.
Autonomous sensory meridian response. That's what ASMR stands for. And I was impressed when I said precipice.
Yeah. You fancy. You thought you were all fancy.
Fancy pants, because you fancy.
I do want to get into a social media post about NXT, because this leads into a little bit of what you talked about regarding wrestling news with a Z, and also just people's perceptions and opinions regarding pro wrestling. And we talk a lot about that on this show, on your show. Lots of podcasts do. Lots of people talk about wrestling fandom. But I had some interactions on Facebook last week that just felt like a very stereotypical wrestling fandom conversation. And it started off very innocent and it ended off innocent. It was actually fairly innocent, but there was some interactions between some people that some people's eyes rolled. Some people were sarcastic. Some people laughed. Going into the situation, I posted on Facebook, just trying to be cute, trying to be funny, but also very excited about what was happening on NXT. I posted, attention, everyone, .. NXT is awesome, .. That is all. That was my original post. And shortly thereafter, someone posted on there, their comment to that was, AEW is better. And I didn't take offense to it, but then someone else posted kind of an eye-rolling gif and also pointed out, way to miss the point. And we see this a lot on social media in general, where whenever someone wants to celebrate a promotion or a show, there's already someone there on the other side ready to say why they're wrong or why someone else is better or some other promotion is better. And it just kind of built upon there too. There was a lot of good discourse, a lot of good, people sharing opinions. So it didn't get nasty or ugly, but it was kind of funny that the very first reaction to just saying NXT is awesome was AEW is better. And the individual who posted this actually then messaged me saying, whoa, I didn't mean to get people upset. I said, no, it's okay to express your opinion. It's totally okay. And I admitted that I've been more of a fan of AEW for the past few weeks, but this past week, NXT just blew it out of the water for me. So I could have easily been seen as a fan, maybe flip-flopping, even though I don't think there's anything wrong with liking both. But at the same time, is there a line between expressing your opinion and being a Debbie Downer? I'm really curious about what you think about that, Greg.
Yes, and God, that's hard because, yeah, people are allowed to have their opinion, but to me, it's the motivation behind expressing the opinion. Like, I think that person said, yeah, but AEW is better because they wanted to point out that they think AEW is better. It's about the fact, look at me, I disagree, I think AEW is better. And yeah, they said they apologize, whatever, and I'll be honest with you, I don't believe their apology. I don't even know who it is. I don't even know who you're talking about. But I wouldn't believe their apology because they posted it. And there was some motivation behind that posting. And people love to say I was only joking after the shitstorm. And it's, you know, that's a common excuse that I don't think is a really good excuse. I replied to that post with, that's the best wrestling show on television. And somebody even argued that. And it was just, it's just like you can't be happy about anything anymore on social media. It's just not allowed. And it's just, yeah, and your post is a perfect example. Like, you were celebrating something that was phenomenal, something that was awesome, something that was meant to be shared and enjoyed. And if there was any intention behind your post besides just trying to be cute and whatever, it was to share in your enjoyment of NXT and what they were presenting that Wednesday night, which was last Wednesday, which was one of the best episodes they've had. And I've consistently enjoyed it more than AEW, but that's, you know, because NXT is literally, that's like they make the show for me. That's why I feel about it the way I do. And I've enjoyed every episode of AEW. It's not to say that I haven't, I have. But yeah, I think that response and many of the others were literally just done because, and not meant to advance the conversation at all, not meant to even engage conversation, but really meant to be contradictory, see if you can get a rise out of people, whatever it may be. It was a trolling comment, and it was trolling the troll. And that's just the problem with social media at this point and why I'm at where I'm at. But it's yeah, it's that was literally a microcosm of wrestling on social media. Yeah, and it's just, I wasn't surprised. I'm not surprised to hear about the conversation afterwards with the backtracking or any of that stuff, because it's just so very social media in 2019. Not just wrestling social media either, all social media. No,
you bring up a good point. I think with wrestling, it's very easy to get carried away with conversation. And like I said, the conversation didn't go down any bad rabbit holes or anything like that. It didn't bother me too much because people have the right to express their opinion regarding what shows they like and what they don't like. I do value when there's some logic and reasoning behind it. And even if it's just your opinion, you know, why? Just let me know why you think it's a better product. Being able to elaborate helps, because that's also then how you can figure out what you like and what someone doesn't, or what commonalities that you have as fans. I mean, the internet, social media can be a really great way to connect with people, especially over common causes, common fandoms, that you otherwise would not know, would not communicate or connect with. But you do have to do it with a little bit of reason and just effort. I think you're going to a good point in social media too, where people kind of get lazy, just sentence, and then just let the drop, or let it, where the chips fall where they may. But just like in regular conversation, you still have to converse and you still have to provide some insight and reasoning and logic, you know, as to why you support something like something.
Now, I mean, in any of our conversations, have I ever asked you a question and you responded with, well, that's just my opinion?
Oh.
No, you haven't, because you have a brain. And that's where that laziness comes into play that you were talking about. Like, people want to hide behind their keyboard and hide behind their, that's my opinion and I'm entitled to it. And it's just, you know, it's that backtracking. Like, you didn't say that because it's your opinion. You said that because you wanted to see the reaction. Then when you were surprised by the reaction, you're like, whoa, that's not what I wanted. It's just, there's more, I shouldn't say there's more bad than good, because I can't really confirm that, because some of that's on who you choose to follow and who you choose to interact with. But to me, it seems like there's more bad than good, because the bad piles on and the good just says, you know, the good is the SpongeBob meme. Like, I'm gonna head out now.
I'm gonna head out now.
Because the good is like, fuck this.
For every 10 good things that happen, there's one bad thing, one bad conversation that can happen, one bad comment that just overrides all the good things. So I think there is a lot of good. We just tend to forget about it because of the fact that there's so much bad that happens, or just like the impact of the bad, of the negative,
yeah,
hits us more.
Yeah, because the bandwidth that the negative takes, the amount of likes, the amount of reactions, the amount of comments is probably like 10 to 1 over the good. No one wants to talk about the good. No one wants to focus on the good. And that's not just social media. Turn on the news, it's like 10 to 1 bad to good there too, because the bad is what draws the ratings in. It's a people thing. It's not even really a social media thing. It's a people thing. It's what people are drawn to. That's why people complain about WWE, because it's bad to good. Bad gets the bandwidth. We all know that there's a ton of good in all the wrestling that we watch. But some people, because it's not true for you and I, choose to focus on the bad. And that's what a lot of people do. And it's exhausting in a lot of ways. And it really is. And sometimes you just hit that point where you're like, you know what? I'm tired.
I do want to bring up something that you've done regarding your social media accounts. Something that I just learned today is that you decided to take a few forms of social media off of your phone. And I'm really curious just to learn more about, like, what was the decision behind that? Because I'm on kind of the opposite end. I'm slowly getting into more forms of social media. Still not on Twitter. Not going to cross that bridge. Not going to get into that mess. But I've been on Instagram now for at least a month.
A month or two.
So I'm slowly getting a little bit more involved in social media while you're pulling back. So tell me a little bit about your decision to remove some social media off of your own.
Last Friday, November 1st, I decided to give myself a break. And I made a post on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. I don't know who saw it because I didn't go back and look. Where I just said I'm giving myself a day off of social media or something like that, right? And I said that and I quickly realized, and I tweeted it as well. I know you didn't see that. And I quickly realized, like 5 minutes later, I was pulling it up and going to go back and look. And I was just like, this is a problem. And so I knew the only way to stay off was to just delete the two apps off my phone. And so I did, because that's, I would say 90% of my social media is done on my phone. And so I did. I deleted Facebook off my phone. I deleted Twitter off my phone. Not even like a start to drag it and then drag it back. But I was like, nope, gone. And what's really funny, and you remember this, later that day, you previewed an email for me for IZW that was going out to the people that bought tickets to Proving Ground for pre-sale stuff. And I had to post about it on Facebook. And so on my work computer, I pulled up Facebook, I logged on, posted what I had to post, and I logged the fuck back off. And it was only supposed to be Friday. It was only supposed to be that one day, just a break. And Saturday came along, and you know, I was super busy on Saturday with some stuff, and actually spent a lot of time this weekend working out. And by like Sunday, I was like, oh, I haven't put this back on my phone yet. And now it's Tuesday, so it's been, you know, if you count Friday and you count today, it's been 5 days. I haven't put them back. I have logged on to do different things. I've logged on from a computer, done what I need to do, and logged back off. I didn't delete Instagram because Instagram is not like Facebook and Twitter. I know the comments can get bad on some posts on Instagram, but I feel like it's so much easier to not get caught up in the bullshit on Instagram than it is on the other ones. I've gotten messages or whatever, people are like, well, you didn't really go away because stuff's still getting posted for the website. I don't even realize the stuff that gets posted for the website is automated. I don't physically go in and post that stuff. Like, I have a program that I paid for.
There's apps, there's things behind
the scenes of the Chair Shot, we actually we affectionately call that the Chair Bot, who posts those things for us, and they get posted in my name, and I have the most followers, and so that's why it gets posted on my Twitter. And I had to log in and like tell some people, oh, by the way, if you're sending me anything, this is why I'm not seeing it, so here's my phone number, you can text me or whatever. It's just and well, going to the next book, but I just, yeah, I deleted it for a day and I haven't wanted to put it back on yet. I've been on occasionally for certain things and haven't been on at other times, and I've been okay. That's the crazy part, right? It's been fine. I haven't felt disconnected. I haven't felt anything. And some of the reasons why I gave myself that break, I haven't talked about, and I'll talk about off air, not on air. But it's, and they're not bad. I don't want anybody to think, oh my God, what happened? No, they're not bad. No. But it's personal. And yes, listener, personal means she can know and you can't. sorry, that's called friendship.
That's friendship.
Right. God, people only knew the friendship stuff. But that'd probably be good. Probably get millions of listeners. But no, it just, yeah, I've been fine. And I haven't felt the need to bring it to go back on. I've had to go on for certain things and I do, and I go back off and I'm sure it'll come back, but I don't have a plan behind it. I don't have a plan. I plan on a day. It's been five. I feel better. I feel more engaged in other things. I've read articles where people did experiments. I know there was like some company that was going to pay people a certain amount of money to log off for a certain period of time. Kind of wish I'd taken advantage of it. Cause I could have made money off of it, but it's just been, it was an impromptu thing. I just decided that Friday morning, I'm gonna give myself a break. I immediately realized how hard that was, unless it's like, this is a terrible example and I shouldn't use it, but I'm going to use an extreme example. It's like quitting, oh, I'll change it. It's like quitting smoking, but keeping, you know, a carton of cigarettes in your house. You know, it's why I had to delete the apps off my phone. Like, I probably, even through sheer willpower, I probably would have made it to like 2 o'clock, right? And would have jumped back on. Now, Messenger is a separate app, so that's nice because I do have to use that for the website, for this show. That's how I communicate with you. And so Messenger being separate, and some people were like, well, it shows that you're on Messenger. And I'm like, yeah, but I have an app for that that's not Facebook. And so I can do that. But it was unplanned, and it's been going good so far, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I'll there's things I need to do. You know, my next wrestling show is not till February, but there'll be promotional things that I have to do, and I'll go on and I'll do those, and maybe I'll engage, but maybe I won't. I don't have an answer to what the plan is or where it's headed, and I feel fine about that because it's social media. It doesn't need to have a plan. And maybe in part of me right now, because it's still so new, it's like, you know what? It doesn't even deserve to have a plan. It's so weird and bad sometimes. But I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. I like I said, I can go on Instagram. I can do whatever. I support your Instagram posts all the time. It's a choice that I've made. But that's it. And I'm perfectly fine and happy with it. You know, a couple months ago, we did an episode of the Greg DeMarco Show. It was your first Show Paris episode. And we were talking about random shit. And we were running short on time. And so I grabbed one of the questions that I had prepped. And it was a question for you, me and Patrick. And I said, you know, would you get rid of social media if you could? Do you remember anything about our answers to that question?
I think I remember saying that I wouldn't. And I think it's because I kind of think about the positive side of social media and being able to connect with people that I normally wouldn't, or people just who are at a distance, and kind of viewing the better side of social media more than the worst. And I think that's just more my perception of realities. I'm a glass half full type of person. So I tend to try and look at the brighter side of things than I do the negative side.
And I'm there with you. Like, I'm a glass half full kind of person too, but I felt like social media wasn't and doesn't push that. And you and Patrick both said, no, you wouldn't get rid of social media. And I said yes to that question when we did it on the show. And what I did the other day is completely independent of that. I didn't even think about that at the time. I didn't think about it until I think yesterday when I was like, oh, I remember we talked about this. And I remember I said that I would get rid of it. And yeah, it's just a personal choice. Got rid of it. Been okay. And you talk about the connecting with people when it does do that. And I feel like people can find me if they need to, and I will go back on at some point and have that. But you also know, like, I'm a very small circle person. I'm super extroverted. I have no problem interacting with people. It's always considered a strength of mine in the workplace is building interpersonal relationships. But when it comes to like my true circle, like, I keep that circle small, you know that. And that kind of goes in line with what I did, but it was really spur of the moment. And kind of surprised it's lasted this long, given that it was spur of the moment. But I've been cool with it, and I don't have a plan, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But yeah, I deleted Facebook off my phone. I deleted Twitter off my phone, not to delete them off my phone, but because that was the only way I could truly give myself a day off of social media. And it's just, it's kind of like I went on vacation and didn't come back, I guess. So,
and tying it back into pro wrestling, I think it's now a challenge for anyone to be involved in pro wrestling without a social media identity. Because that's how, you know, people are almost judged, is what is your social media presence? How many Facebook friends do you have? Instagram followers, Twitter followers? What do you post? You know, it's a big format of showcasing your talent, your resume, your personality. And so it can be, I think, a challenge being in this business and also not having a social media presence, because that's how you get noticed. And if you do want to get signed to a larger company, I would imagine that's going to be something they look at. They want to know, you know, what is your presence out there online? And can you, do you already have that? Is it something that you can build? I know I struggled with that as a ring announcer, where I don't have a Twitter presence on purpose, but was told a lot, you know, that a social media following can help you get bookings. It can help you get noticed. It can help you, you know, get connected with people. And I can only imagine from just a performer perspective, a wrestling perspective, that can really have an impact on just your ability to get booked on shows or just noticed, or even selling your merchandise. You know, having all of these communications and fans out there, you don't have much of a choice. If you want to be in this business, that you have to have a social media presence. What you do with that presence and how involved you are, how you utilize it, that's always up to the individual. But it seems like it's a hard thing to just have this off button in pro wrestling, because that's how people stay connected, and that's how people notice you. That's how you get attention. And that's a huge, huge element in this business, is if you're not getting noticed, you're not getting booked. If you're not getting booked, you know, no one's going to know who you are. If no one knows who you are, you know, do you have a future?
It's hard, too, because there's a lot that goes against what you just said. There's also a lot of, like, you know, what level are you at if you're having to use social media for that? It's interesting. You know, I always use the example that I've seen before where, you know, when people are out, like I hate, and this happened to me before the last ICW show. Show's on a Friday, right? Get a message on a Tuesday. Hey, you got any room on the show? Well, I'd love to work. And it blows my way. I'm like, you think I'm so poor at planning that 4 days before the show, I have a spot open for you. B, you're at the...
What's that? Thing.
No, it's not. You're at this point in your career where you're willing to get booked by people who plan so poorly they have spots. Like, do you really want to work a show that still has spots open 4 days before the show takes place? Like, are you confident you're going to get paid? And it's just such this weird thing. Social media, I think, and this is something that I know there's a subset of people that would totally agree with me, has let some people in that shouldn't be in the wrestling business. And that's not, and I know you got on Instagram and I know you're trying to increase your presence and all that. And so that's not related. I'm not in no way, listener, am I saying that Miranda should not be here. God, if you saw those personal conversations, you know how I feel about whether or not she deserves opportunities in getting them. But I feel like it's like a lower half, lower third kind of thing. Like when you hit a certain level, you don't need it anymore. And I'm not saying that I'm like at this level where I don't need it, but I kind of am, because I don't need it. And I'm getting along just fine. Now, I'm not trying to get booked. I'm going at the business from another side now. And I haven't been trying to get booked for 10 years. But it's, it's interesting, because it's like, it feels like a necessary evil, but I don't know if it really is a necessary evil, or if we're just led to believe that it's a necessary evil. And I know, because I'm in the middle of this break, I don't know the answer to that question. And I think that's okay. We don't have all the answers. We never will.
Yeah. Very, Very good point. I mean, really, I'm just glad that you were on social media long enough to see my Orange Cassidy Halloween costume. Because that's really what I feel like.
Oh, well, yeah, I saw it. I saw it. It wasn't the first time I saw it. You know that. But yeah, I saw it.
No, that's true. I mean, well, you knew the idea. You knew the idea.
I did. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Planted. But yes, I did put that up on my Instagram. Granted, probably 2019's most popular wrestling related costume, because there was so many of them. But that's was a really fun thing to look at and watch. Some were a lot better than others. I mean, Tony Khan dressed up as Orange Cassidy. I mean, when your boss dresses up as you for Halloween, you're winning life.
That's everything you need to know about AEW right there, is that the main financer behind the company dressed up as Orange Cassidy for Halloween. And any argument that anyone wants to make about AEW being better than WWE or NXT is immediately invalidated by the fact that Tony Khan dressed up as Orange Cassidy. Would Vince McMahon dress up as Roman Reigns for Halloween? I mean, there's a million jokes there, but no, he wouldn't. Would Triple H dress up as Shayna Baszler for Halloween? No, he wouldn't. But Tony Khan would dress up as Orange Cassidy for Halloween. Tony Khan will not be in business for 30 years. And WWE's been way longer than 30 years, but I'm just using that as an example people yes. can sink their teeth into. I mean, I've said it before. I'll say it again. He's a mark. And you say we're all marks, but we're not really all marks, and we start off as marks, but we change. He's the ultimate money mark, and Cody knows it, and the Young Bucks know it, and Kenny knows it, and they all know it, that he's the ultimate money mark, and they got him, and they're going to have him for as long as they can, and then they're going to go to WWE, and if it wasn't for Conrad, none of it would be in place anyway. I know I'm getting a little too inside, but it's all true.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's cold truth.
That's how that connection came together. And look, I'd love him. If I had the opportunity, I'd do it too. I'm 100%. I'm not knocking that. I'm just shedding the reality that history will eventually show. And people will have made a lot of money because of it. Fans will have gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it. And none of that is negative, and none of that is lost whenever that ceases to be. Just like everything that was great about WCW, the NWO didn't go away and lose its importance because WCW folded. It was still the hottest angle in pro wrestling history. That doesn't change just because WCW didn't make it. Most wrestling companies don't make it. That's just the nature of the beast. Most businesses don't make it. That's just the nature of the world. Yeah. Wrestling really is a microcosm of life sometimes, just like wrestling social media is a microcosm of real social media. But yeah, I don't even know how we got where we are right now in this conversation.
We went down a rabbit hole, but I think it's actually a really good way to end this week's episode, because we went down several rabbit holes, but really, really good topics regarding the NXT War Games women's match coming up, social media, its presence, its ability to connect people, the ability to maybe cut it off, and the ability to showcase really cool Halloween costumes. I mean, that's really all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Do not forget, listeners, to support thechairshot.com, going online to visit thechairshot.com for all your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your...
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
For those of you still on social media, still wanting to use social media, you can follow at thechairshot.com on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I myself am not on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at the hashtag Miranda. Also on Facebook at the hashtag Miranda. Or the hashtag Miranda.
Yes.
But yes, I'm of those two things. Greg is because he knows my social medias more than I do. I just don't have the capacity to remember all of it.
Greg, keep me around.
Even though you are not actively on social media, where can our listeners find you?
They can go to @ChairShotGreg on all of your forms of social media. They still exist. I'm sure I'll use them again. I doubt this is permanent. I do website stuff still get shared through them. IZW stuff, for those of you in or around Arizona, still get shared through those as well. Those are all things that are important to me. And yeah, I may jump on and share something if something big happens, or if I want to support somebody, I will do it, and then I'll jump back off. I don't know where it's headed, but yeah, it's @ChairShotGreg. Follow me. People have, like, when I logged on today to check Patrick's Twitter account, sure enough, I was, you know, had got new followers and some other things. And so, yeah, that was also equally exciting. So, yeah, even though I went away, I still got followers and still got that stuff because I had to go. I went on today. I went on, replied to a couple messages, and then also, and then also, you know, check Patrick's following count and then log back off. That's the key to this whole thing, is logging back off.
Logging back off. Okay. That is the secret to life. Just don't stay logged in. Take it off your phone, log in, log out.
Yes. That's a t-shirt. Log in, log out.
Log in, log out. New t-shirts. And
LILO. If anybody knows anything about distribution and logistics, you know about LIFO and FIFO and things like that. Last in, first out, first in, first out. Log in, log out. LILO.
Well, speaking of t-shirts, don't forget, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your chairshot.com t-shirts. Do not forget to get it in the best style, the soft style. It is worth the extra money, and you are supporting thechairshot.com. You're getting an awesome t-shirt, and you're, you know, wearing something comfortable. That's like the trifecta of awesome clothing, awesomeness.
We don't make more money when you buy a soft style shirt. We just want you to be comfortable.
We just want you to be comfortable. That's how you know thechairshot.com is watching out for you. We don't make any extra money. There's no additional incentive on buying a soft-style t-shirt other than you.
Comfort.
The comfort of our listeners. And as Greg mentioned, he and I are part of a local wrestling promotion here in the state of Arizona, IZW Impact Zone Wrestling. And so, of course, we have to do our plug. Do not forget to support your local wrestling promotions. You can find them on social media. Search them online. But go and support your local wrestling. This is where the stars of today, tomorrow, the past, wherever, the future, right now, all of the time zones, all of the time vortexes and time warps are. But you can go to your local wrestling promotion, support local wrestlers, support other local performers, referees and ring announcers and ring crews and commentators, all of that. You can do that at your local wrestling show. So do yourself a favor. Go to a local wrestling show. Go buy a ticket. Go with friends. Bring in other friends. If you primarily watch AEW or WWE, Impact, Ring of Honor, you will surely be happy with your local wrestling show.
100%.
100%. Well, that is it for us this week. Come and join us next week, where we'll have another array of topics. Who knows?
We go
down some rabbit holes here. But thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And have a good night. Adult.